The Christian life is a daily combination of personal faith and social involvement, deep personal faith and active social involvement. While personal faith is not merely individual faith, nonetheless, it is in persons like you that faith is received and known and nourished. There is no hiding here, no hiding behind an unconsidered ignorance, nor behind a well-tempered philosophy, nor behind a mountainous and real hurt, nor behind sloth. Your faith is yours, especially when it is about all you have left to go on. So you will continue, brightened by Easter, to develop and practice your faith. We are not meant to live in Lent. We are meant to live in Easter. The difference Easter makes comes in part by way of a full-body embrace of your own personal faith. Let us, in Easter spirit, embrace the faith we have been given. We know God to be a pardoning God. We hope to be made whole in this lifetime. Knowing pardon, seeking holiness, can you creatively and even at some risk work with another whom you think needs your pardon, I beg your pardon, but who may him or herself think you need his or hers? Just how sharp is your faith in its faithful practice of what we pray come Sunday, forgive us as we forgive? Longing for wholeness, can you creatively and even at some risk take up work that you have long left behind, but you know is part of personal faith development, reading, prayer, giving, serving, listening? Pardon, wholeness, it is up to you. And here is the faithful Lutheran J.S. Bach, and here he can indeed help us by means of his own example in faith. His own Bible, we have recently been further taught, was laden with notes in the margin, questions, renderings, and ruminations. Personal faith may quicken with personal practices of a new post-COVID sort. In this past year, we may have discovered some new measures of resilience, grace, creativity, and love. One may choose to play the piano again. Another may take a language study. One may find a daily devotional reader which sits on a bureau so one can read it while tying a tie. Another may sit in the quiet of the sanctuary for a while, as did Emerson, who said, "I love the silent church before there is any speaking." One may wander, saunter, flâner dans les rues, walking for a bit every day. Exercise is so spiritually central and important to faith. Exercise is so spiritually central and important to faith. Another may start to journal, to record dreams, to record insights, to record angers, and to record escapes. Teaching and learning are spiritual adventures in pursuit of invisibles and intangibles. Or, if nothing else, you can hardly do better than a conversation in loving care with another person of faith, say, over the telephone. One may look hard at her life or actual activity to see whether it becomes the gospel and whether it approximates the very general guidance in the wisdom saying, in singleness, integrity, in partnership, fidelity. At least one, it may be, will choose to listen with weekly discipline to the Marsh Chapel recorded and broadcast service come Sunday. At least one, it may be, will choose to receive as a spiritual practice the beauty of choral music come this and other Bach Sundays. Personal faith may quicken with disciplined personal practices, perhaps of a new post-COVID sort, inspired and empowered by the presence of the Good Shepherd, who knows his own and his own know him. Dr. Jarrett, in terms of today's music and text, what witness do you sense Bach brings us of personal faith within the setting of this lovely cantata?
Today's cantata is indeed a lesson in faith, assurance, and the promise of God's goodness in our lives. Cantata 69A, Praise the Lord, O My Soul, was first performed on August 15th in 1723 during Bach's first 3 months as cantor in Leipzig. We have seen in these cantatas not just a remarkable display of compositional craftsmanship, but also an authoritative theological understanding through both the compilation of the libretto and the setting of those texts. Cantata 69A features from beginning to end an exuberant and joyful hymn of praise of God and the good works that enable a life of faith. Opening with full festival forces with trumpets and timpani, Bach sets the words of Psalm 103, verse 2, in a marvelous double fugue. The music is absolutely radiant, brilliant, and brimming with the praise of all God's faithful. With this rich texture, we can well imagine the sound of Wesley's thousand tongues to sing the great Redeemer's praise. For Bach, the gospel lesson of the day was from Mark 7, the account of Jesus healing the deaf man at the Sea of Galilee. As the cantata turns from corporate to personal praise, the soprano and tenor soloists join the voices that witnessed Jesus' miracle, proclaiming the goodness of his deeds and the glory of God. The cheerful tenor aria is delightfully scored for recorder and oboe da caccia. Listen for the extended line that Bach writes for the word erzähle, or declare. And like the man whose tongue Jesus loosed, the tenor promises a Gottgefällig singen durch die frohe Lippen, or a God-pleasing singing through joyful lips. With the following alto recitative, we turn inward to remember our human frailty and shortcomings. With further reminder of the gospel lesson, the alto calls on God to utter his mighty Ephphatha, just as Jesus did in Mark 7:34. And from the singing of that Aramaic word meaning be opened, the otherwise syllabic recitative opens to a lovely melody on the words, so wird mein Mund voll danken sein, then my mouth will be full of thanks. The bass aria which follows affirms God as Redeemer and Protector. The believer, hear the voice of the bass, pens himself to Christ's cross and passion, pledging to praise at all times. In the same way that Christ gladly took up the cross, thereby exalting his passion, we too will rejoice and sing praise in our own cross-bearing and suffering. Note the stark contrast of the lines for Kreuz und Leiden, cross and suffering, with Singt mein Mund mit Freuden, my mouth sings with joy. The final chorale echoes the close of Mark 7, proclaiming, he hath done all things well. Was Gott tut, das ist wohlgetan, dabei will ich verbleiben. Because God holds me in a fatherly embrace in his arms, I will let him alone govern me. Confidence, assurance, affirmation, and ultimately, faith to live in freedom and freedom to live by faith.
The Christian life is a daily combination of personal faith and social involvement, of deep personal faith and active social involvement. The community of the Gospel of John knew the necessity of nimble engagement of current experience and the saving capacity to change in the face of new circumstances. The community of this gospel could do so because they had experienced the shepherd present here, hic et nunc, here and now. In distress, we hold on to divine presence, on word, on the shepherd, here. On the front porch of our beloved Marsh Chapel stands John Wesley, posed in preaching, who reminds us that there is no holiness save social holiness. There is no holiness save social holiness. In the tradition which gave birth to Boston University and to Marsh Chapel, and so to our worship on this and every Sunday, personal faith and social involvement go together and, in truth, are not found except hand in hand. As all of our 55 weeks and Sundays of worship, teaching, fellowship, and remembrance throughout these 385 days of contagion, masking, and vaccine have evinced among us, pistis and polis, faith and culture, go together. Here Bach may help us if, especially in the surge of beauty his music showers on us, a sense of grace, and in so doing gathers us as one. the older Lutheran preference for the two kingdoms, Christ and culture and paradox, is at some lesser closeness to the transformational aspiration in Wesley's social holiness. Yet, Bach's very vocational choice to embed himself in congregational musical life is itself a harbinger of transformation. More, the universal regard for the beauty of Bach itself places on the edge of a way forward as a global village. As women and men of faith, we are not free to celebrate faith apart from life, or to affirm faith in ignorance of the polis, the city, the culture, the political. The Bible itself is a 66-book declamation of social justice at every turn, by every writer, with every chapter, at every point. Moses, Amos, Micah, Matthew, Luke, Paul, all. Try and read the Bible without being confronted, accosted, seized, and shaken by its fierce acclamation of the hope of justice. Real religion is never very far from justice. Even though justice alone, a crucial part of the gospel, alone is not the heart of the gospel. The gospel is love, agape, which is more than justice, though not less. You then, in real time, read the newspaper as well as the Bible. You have reason and obligation to be concerned about what you read. You have reason and obligation to be concerned about the persons and personalities driving cultural and political formation. You also have reason and obligation to be concerned about the policies, speaking of polis, which emanate from those personalities and persons, those forms of rhetoric and language and behavior. You have full reason and obligation to be concerned about public good, about the polis, the city, about the forms of culture and civil society across our land, painstakingly built up over 250 years, that are not government and not politics, but are more fundamental and more fragile than both. You have reason and obligation to be concerned about the use of force of any kind, as we have been this past week. For example, our own Boston University president, Dr. Robert A. Brown, faithfully wrote this past week, "It is my hope that this trial and the activism and awareness which resulted from Mr. Floyd's death will bring us closer to that elusive equality, certainly as it relates to policing and the threat posed by law enforcement practices in communities of color. I also hope his legacy and the legacy of the many other black people who have lost their lives to police violence helps to illuminate and redress the many other racial injustices which continue to afflict our society. These tragic deaths cast a bright and honest light on every form of racial antipathy, and I hope this energy carries into the fight we are having today to secure voting rights for people of color, to stand up against every other manifestation of racism around the world. So, beloved, let us run the race set before us. So, as a runner say, you have reason and obligation to be concerned about the route itself. Run with joy the race set, but neglect not to engage by precept and example the social support, the cultural forms required for the race. Like our beloved Boston Marathon, which we have not celebrated now for 2 years, but we may honor in imagination this very morning, today. The route, the roads cleared, the police, the first responders, the supporting cheerers, the rules and traditions, the many thousands standing by you and standing with you and standing for you. Personal holiness is the run. Social holiness is the route. Personal holiness is the run. Social holiness is the route. They go together. The Christian life is a daily combination of deep personal faith and active social involvement. So our song this Lord's Day is just this. Ah, would that I had 1,000 tongues. I would that my mouth were empty of idle words. Ah, would that I said nothing other than what was geared to God's praise. Then I would proclaim the highest's goodness. For all my life, he has done so much for me. that I cannot thank him in all eternity. Amen.